This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University as a part of its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. My name is Carly Chisholm. I am a sophomore history major with an art history minor here at James Madison University, and today I am with Miles Peckham to discuss his paper on James Madison himself and his views on factionalism. Miles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. In your paper, you begin by explaining how Madison saw factions as occurring naturally due to what he describes as the nature of man. Would you say that in today's political landscape, Madison's vision of multitudes of factions has come true?
Absolutely. So Madison describes a faction as a group of people with similar vested interests. And some of the research that I saw that looks at the Federalist Papers in a more contemporary way saw or drew the comparison between what Madison describes as a faction and what we describe today as an interest group. And given that there are many, many interest groups that represent the interests of anything on planet Earth, I believe that Madison and what he saw coming true of the Republic, which was just this Republic overrun with factions, did come true through what we just described them as interest groups.
So what you're saying is that what Madison saw as factions, we see as interest groups today.
That's correct.
Okay. So you speak about the Anti-Federalists and their beliefs.
Yes.
As well as the Federalists and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain both of these for the listeners?
Absolutely. So we'll begin with the Federalists, who were in support of the Constitution. They believed in a much stronger centralized government and more of an outreaching centralized authority. Whereas the Anti-Federalists, they were the ones that were more promoting states' rights. They believed in the individual liberties of the states, the individual liberties of the actual citizenship that lived within the states. They did not want this centralized, republicanized government that the Constitutional Convention has given to our nation. That was one of their biggest fears and was one of the biggest reasons that they were the first ones to actually write the Anti-Federalist Papers that came out to kind of slander the Constitution and point out all of its flaws. And that led to Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay being promoted to write the Federalist Papers, which were used to support the document. That's not exactly how we use them today. More so, we use them now to understand the writers and their philosophical and political beliefs. But at the time, they were used as arguments in support of the Constitution.
I'm curious. Both the Anti-Federalists and the Federalists had different visions for the country. Who do you think was kind of correct?
In a sense, they both were. Both the Anti-Federalists, with their support of states' rights through the Bill of Rights as well as the 10th Amendment, saw the states' rights states themselves were empowered. And as we see with the Constitution and the outcome of the actual convention itself, the Federalists were obviously very correct because we have a federal system of government. We have that republicanized, centralized government that they were in support of. So at the end of the day, both of them were right. Both of their visions and both of their fears were actualized in what our government has become today.
Okay, that's an interesting thought. To pivot our focus a little bit, Madison and Alexander Hamilton both supported the Constitution. However, Hamilton was not happy with the final draft, nor with the Constitution itself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why Hamilton advocated for the Constitution, yet was adamant it was a flawed document?
Yes. So Alexander Hamilton, at the Constitutional Convention, what he was trying to do was make our Constitution be an exact replica of the British Constitution. He believed that it was a perfect document, it was a perfect form of government, but he wanted to tailor it and kind of bring it over to America. He understood that we would never be able to have a monarchy, but he wanted an executive with an incredibly extended range of power. He also, what he has described himself as what he wanted for the country was a republicanized monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially wanted the people to elect their monarch, in a sense. So he saw the document that we produced as flawed. He did not agree with many of its principles, many of its articles, but he realized and actually wrote in a letter to Madison, he said that this form of government that we've created is essentially better than nothing. it's better that we have some form of government that can be amended and fixed later rather than living under the Confederation, under the Articles of Confederation, which had been a failed system of government. Essentially, Hamilton, said and realized something was better than nothing. It may not be exactly what he wanted, but at least it's something, which is why he was the one that called Madison and Jay and kind of created the pseudonym of Publius and was the one that pioneered the Federalist Papers in support of this document, even though he was not in.
Staying with Madison and Hamilton, can you explain the relationship between the two of them following their writing of the Federalist Papers? Mm-hmm. Did their political differences lead to an eventual breaking apart of Publius?
Yes, it did. So Madison and Hamilton had very differing views on what the nation was supposed to look like, what government should look like. As I spoke about in the last question with Hamilton, what his beliefs were, Madison's were kind of different. They are the ones that are more well-known with the Federalist Papers, all about federal government, strong, centralized government. After they wrote the Federalist Papers and the Constitution was ratified, historians have noted that Madison's views have kind of switched sides, where he takes more of an anti-federalist stance, where he starts to believe more in states' rights and empowering the states, and he supports the Bill of Rights and kind of just goes against everything that he had been supporting in the Federalist Papers. Now, for the two of them and their relationship, what kind of happened was Hamilton had been writing to Madison. Hamilton had this economic plan about what they should do with property and property rights and was proposing it to Congress. And he believed that he and Madison were on the same page and that Madison would support him publicly and would kind of garner support in Congress for his idea. However, when it came time for this to actually be voted on, Madison was leading the opposition. And this kind of struck Hamilton and kind of surprised him because this was his friend, this is someone he had worked close with for the past several years, and to have him be in such opposition to Hamilton's ideas really hurt him in a way. After this event occurred, there were other ideas and other economic proposals by Hamilton that were, again, opposed by Madison, and that led to their eventual breaking apart and their working relationship ultimately failing. And historians have noted, and I saw a trend as I read their personal correspondence to each other, historians have also looked at this. The language that is used between them goes from very professional to very friendly to very much, I'm writing you because I have to, in a way. In the sense that neither one of them really wanted to talk to the other, but they knew that to be successful and to keep the government functioning, they had to. So in a way, and this is kind of where I ended my paper and ended my research, was I looked at what kind of led to Hamilton and Madison splitting, and what caused that split was the economic issues and Madison's overall opposition to Hamilton and his ideas.
Interesting. Well, that brings us to the end of your paper and to the end of this podcast today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics, as well as subscriptions to our podcast, are available on our homepage at sites.lib.jmu.edu/Studio 395. To learn more about the history major at JMU, please visit jmu.edu/history. This has been Carly Chisholm with Miles Peckham for Studio 395. Take care.